The U is a land-grant university, which means it has a mandate to serve the good of the state. For nearly 150 years, U scientists have fulfilled that mission by giving the state's farmers the means to grow more bountiful, healthier crops. But technology is changing faster than ever, and these days, President Mark Udoff says the U can best serve the state and its farmers by focusing on biotechnology.
When a quarter of Minnesota's economy is based upon agriculture, when we're already strong in that area, it seems to make enormous sense to make it a part of the vision for the future.
The problem is this. Public funding can't provide the enormous amount of capital the U will need to become a leader in ag biotech. Udoff's solution? Run the U more like a business. License university technology to local companies, some of which may be started by U researchers. With luck, the U could reap the rewards if one of them hits it big. Another approach, attract big research grants from agribusinesses. The University of Minnesota, like dozens of public and private universities across the country, is trying to do all of those things.
We do have to struggle with where we get resources, and we have to make sure that we develop technology in the best interest of the taxpayers and stakeholders of the university.
That's Charles Muscoplatt, Dean of the College of Agriculture, Food, and Environmental Sciences. He's worked at a number of ag biotech firms where he registered several patents. He is both scientist and businessman, dual strengths that make him a fitting advocate for public-private partnerships.
It's difficult to fund everything in today's economy where we have declining public support for higher education. And the technology is becoming ever more expensive. So the two curves are actually going in opposite directions. Costs are going up and revenues are going down.
Under his watch, the college will build three new buildings and renovate a fourth. It's also trying to lure top faculty. Monsanto, Novartis Seeds, and several other ag companies are funding graduate training and an endowed chair in corn breeding. Cargill has promised to donate $10 million for a new plant genomic center if the state legislature matches the funds. Meanwhile, Muscoplatt plans to cut funding for the Minnesota Institute for Sustainable Agriculture, one of several university organizations designed to help rural communities. Muscoplatt insists the university must continue to serve the state and its farmers. But some at the school think he's more interested in building bridges to big business. It's springtime on the U's St. Paul campus. Students play frisbee and sunbathe. But debate is roiling here over whether the university should be looking to big business for support. Phil Riegel is a professor of ecology and evolution at the university. He says the school's reputation as a vital resource for rural Minnesota may be tarnished if the school emphasizes stronger ties with corporations.
A lot of the smaller farmers think we should be putting money into research that will help small farmers and agricultural communities in the state. But the feeling is that the money is being put instead into programs that can help better support large businesses.
And in a stuffy classroom in the agronomy building, students are tackling related issues. Kristen Bland, who recently received her master's in conservation biology, worries that companies are increasingly calling the shots.
The private sector is getting a big value added out of coming in to this publicly funded university that's here for the purpose of community dialogue and public education and civic responsibility. You know, they pay the cost of maintaining the buildings, they pay the cost of the professor's salaries, but the research itself gets determined by private money.
For his part, U President Udoff says these issues weigh heavily on his mind. He says he wants the school to remain free of excessive corporate influence. He's also concerned about cheapening education in the race for technological leadership.
How do you cooperate with business to get the leverage to produce these breakthroughs without selling your soul? How do you do it without making the public purpose secondary to the private purpose? How do you do it without changing your professors into entrepreneurs? And how do you do it without taking sides between, traditional family farms and corporate farms and all that? And my plan is to proceed, frankly, with a great deal of caution.
But proceeding he is. Udoff says the university will have spent up to $200 million on cellular and molecular biology between 1997 and 2002. Some of that money will pay for 24 new junior faculty in genetics and an ambitious building campaign. Udoff admits it may be impossible to surpass schools like MIT or Stanford, which have more money and a head start. But the U does have some renowned researchers and a history of cultivating breakthrough technology. University scientist Ron Phillips.
Biotechnology has opened our minds to think about what we want as opposed to what we know is possible today.
In the 1970s, Phillips and a graduate student regenerated a corn plant from a single cell for the first time. That laid the groundwork for other scientists who in 1989 began to genetically engineer corn that produced its own pesticide to resist the European corn borer. This year, farmers are planting about a quarter of their corn acreage with BT corn. Today, Phillips is Regents Chair of the Department of Agronomy and Plant Genetics.
That's a pretty basic technological step, and absolutely no one knew whether you'd be able to do it until 1989. And yet, here 11 years later, it's a technology that's made its way to the field and has become a prominent part of agriculture.
These days, Phillips and other scientists are busy learning how to manipulate plant genes to make food more nutritious. Dr. Gary Gardner is a professor of horticulture at the university. His regular tennis partner and neighbor is Dr. Lee Wattenberg of the medical school, who was well known for his research on foods that help prevent cancer. During car rides to tennis and work, the two men realized their research overlapped. Now Gardner, Wattenberg, and nine other professors from three different colleges are studying vegetables like watercress and tomatoes. They want to use various techniques, including the transfer of genes in the case of tomatoes, to boost the vegetable's natural cancer-fighting compounds. Gary Gardner.
When we know from studies that particular natural products either cure or prevent a disease, I think for most of those, in 10 years, we will be able to make plants that are richer in the concentration of those compounds.
U officials are encouraging such interdisciplinary activity. They hope more interaction between, say, computer scientists and geneticists will lead to healthier foods for Minnesotans and a stronger bottom line for the university. I'm Andrew Haig, Minnesota Public Radio.